Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hasn't it been a marvelous time so far?
Amen.
Just so precious to come together and blend and enjoy the Lord together and just have Christ dispensed into us and to love the dear Lord Jesus and to see more of who He is, His wonderful person, and see more of His purpose. I'm always impressed when we see the Lord, He turns us to His purpose right away. We see Him and then we see what's on His heart. That's what's so marvelous about this weekend, so marvelous about our Lord. As when we fall in love with Him, then He opens His heart to us and He shares what's on His heart. That's really what the Lord's been doing this weekend, sharing with us what's on His heart. He has something on His heart. He has a building work. He wants to build His body. He wants His bride. He wants to fall in love with us.
Amen.
Isn't that a marvelous thought? He wants to fall in love with us. That's why He created us. He would fall in love with us, that we would fall in love with Him, and He could fall in love with us. So this one is our precious, dear Savior, Lord Jesus. And of course, we've been fellowshipping these few days on this matter of the unique work in the Lord's recovery. Unique work in the Lord's recovery. And just like the other brothers, let's focus a little bit on the title here for a minute. The unique work. Now, what I want to do is in this outline for this message 3, go to Roman numeral 2 right now. Roman numeral 2. I want everybody to read just the first two lines together of Roman numeral 2. We need to be God's fellow workers who are working the work of the Lord and abounding in the work of the Lord. So, the first two lines. First two lines. Oh, wait a minute. I'm looking at a different... That may be the problem. I have a different outline here. Sorry. I printed it out before I came here. And so... So what I'm looking at here is we need to be God's fellow workers who are working the work of the Lord. So the Lord has a work. And we abound in the work of the Lord. So the Lord has a work we need to abound in. But this next portion, the brother who put this outline together said this is a definition of God's unique work. This next portion is a definition of God's unique work, which is allowing Christ to work Himself into us. So that He may grow in us, transform us, and flow out of us to work Himself into others. For the church is God's farm, God's building. That's a definition of God's unique work. That's what God's doing on the earth today. So this work, as we've been seeing, is something that's an inward work with outward expression. It's not just an outward work. But rather, it's an inward work. The Lord is working with us in an inward way, that we would give Him the ground to grow in us, that then we could be His ambassadors. Then we could preach the gospel. Then we could take care of the outward aspects of the work. But the inward aspects of the work have to come first. That's like this hymn. We need to behold Him. We need to spend time loving Him. Spend time caring for Him. So as we spend time loving the Lord, He works himself into us. And we're going to see that more and more in this message. He works himself into us. Then we're the ambassadors. We're the ministers that minister this Christ to others. This is what builds his body. This is the work of the Lord. The work of the Lord is building his unique body on the earth today. So it's not just an outward work. It definitely has an outward expression. If any of you, and then most of you, are laboring on a campus, you know it's a busy place. That's why we need to be so clear what the Lord's goal is and how he accomplishes his goal. He accomplishes his goal by getting into us, us enjoying him, us loving him, and living by him. It was mentioned so much in the first message. We need to live by him. So as we live by him, then he can accomplish his work. So the unique work of the Lord is his building himself into us. And I'll just read this portion again. We'll come back, of course, to it later. Allowing Christ to work himself into us. Ephesians 3:17, make his home in our heart. That he may grow in us. Colossians 2:19, grow with the growth of God. Transform us, beholding and reflecting. We become his image. And flow out of us. The living water flowing out in John 7. To work himself into others, for the church is God's farm, God's building. So this again is the definition of what God's work on the earth is today. So he has a work in the Lord's recovery, and this word recovery we've been talking about as well. Recovery, the Lord has something very marvelous. The first couple of decades, the first maybe 20, 30 years after the Lord's resurrection. A marvelous, marvelous spreading. But right away, and this is what Satan always does, came in to stop it. Confuse the believers, and the work became spread out and it became degraded. It didn't stop, but it almost stopped. One Christian historian calls it, says there's a silver thread through the ages of God's redeemed people who love him. Down through the ages. And you can track the thread. It's there. So the Lord never lost a people that love him, but the expression was somewhat small. But the Lord does want an expression on the earth, around the earth. It doesn't have to be a huge expression, but it does need to be a visible expression. In all the nations around the earth, he needs a visible expression. So that's what he's after today. So his recovery then is recovering, bringing Christians back to the proper experience of Christ and the proper experience of the church life. Hallelujah! Amen. That's what was lost. About 30 or 40 years after the Lord's resurrection, the proper experience of Christ and the proper experience of the church life, of the meeting life, was lost. And the Lord began in the 1500s to really begin to recover the matter of the proper experience of Christ and the proper Christian experience. And he went on century by century and up to today. And today, the Lord has brought us back almost to the point where, with the vision of what the brothers saw in Acts. Hallelujah. So the recovery is back to the proper experience of Christ, back to the proper practice of the church life. And so that's why we're fellowshipping now. And those of you who are in Daniel and Zechariah training, you realize the Lord wants to come back. And we can hasten his return simply by loving him, simply by taking care of the Christ within us. We can hasten the Lord's return. And what will hasten his return? Our love. As we love him, as we spend time with him, as we say, Lord, I need you. Lord, I want you. Lord, I want you to come back. So we spend time with our dear Lord. This will cause him to return. He comes back for a bride that loves him. And we were talking also in the first message, this matter of the Lord as our pattern. And he's our pattern, and he's our pattern because he lived by the Father. He lived by another life. He didn't live by his own life. So we're following one who lived by another life. We're not trying to outwardly imitate him. We're trying to live, follow him in the way he lived by the Father. You know, John 6:57, and we'll refer to the verse many times tonight. He lived by the Father. And so we can live by him simply by eating and enjoying him. This is what's so key, so crucial, is to eat him by living him and enjoying him. So his living was his working. And our living needs to be our working. So we need to be those who don't have a separate living and a separate working, but rather our living and our working are the same. And I just want to give you a couple, maybe two personal examples of this. Both of them while I was working. Now I'm serving on the campus. Sorry, I didn't. My name's Ken Mooney, and I'm from Champaign. Hallelujah. Sorry about that. But I am serving now on the campus since 2003. But prior to that, actually, I was an international business consultant. Did a lot of international work. And one day, I was getting on an airplane with someone sitting next to me. There was a seat in between me and this fellow. And I was in a mood that day. I didn't really want to preach the gospel. Has anybody ever been in a mood you didn't want to preach the gospel? Yeah, I was just the mood I was in that day. You know where this is going now. The Lord didn't listen to my mood. The fella was just fidgeting. He was fidgeting around. And eventually I couldn't stand it. I had to ask him what was going on. And so he says, well, I'm going to a certain city to visit my friend who's dying of cancer. Now, this fella was he was a band leader. And successful band. So it's the type of person, if you went and knocked on his door, you probably couldn't even get to his door, first off. And he wouldn't answer it. He wouldn't have opened up. But I had the mystery of human life in my pocket. Funny to be in a bad mood. Not want to preach the gospel, yet have the mystery of human life right there. Anyway, we went through it, and he really got gloriously saved. Right there in the plane airplane seat. He says, I'm going to take this to my friend who's dying of cancer and share the gospel with him. So, always be ready. Always be ready. The Lord doesn't listen to our mood. But we do need to be prepared. We do need to be prepared. And so the Lord took care of that. The other one I want to share was I was in a few of you may have heard this, but not I don't think many of you have heard this example. I was conducting a business meeting in Shenzhen, China. And I was trying to put together a joint venture with another company for a business venture. So we're having a business meeting, and I was going over the business plan, Excel spreadsheet, on a flip chart, and going through the whole thing. And typical business meeting, if you've ever been in one, you know what it was like. It was myself and another person, actually a brother who was translating for me, and the CEO and the executive staff of the other company were there. Just small business meeting. And then we broke for dinner. And we went down for dinner in a private dining room. And we were just sitting, talking. And then the brother nudges me. And he says, he wants to know about what it's like to be a Christian. Wow. Across the table. I thought, wow. So we just start fellowshipping. I'd share something. The brother would share something. We'd go back and forth like this. And it got to a point where I thought he was about ready. And I said, there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved but the name of Jesus Christ. Boldly, right in front of his friend, right in front of his co-workers. And he was just considering all of this. Then all of a sudden, someone changed the subject. And I thought, oh, Oh, well. But 5-10 minutes later, I don't know. He came back. Said Kevin nudged me. He wants to pray to be saved. So we did. I prayed, translated. He prayed back and forth, and he got saved. Okay, our living is our working. Our working is our living. And so this one, and the next day I saw him. He was so happy, so happy. So my point is, we do need to be ready. We do need to be ready to preach the gospel. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, whether we're working, we're in school, we're in class. You know, we don't know. Many of you have seen the Howard Higashi video where a dear brother talking to Howard. And he just took care of Howard, and Howard became a tremendous gift to the church life. So we just need to be those open to the Lord. You know, living Him, taking care of Him, taking care of His love for us, and our love to Him. And that way, we are ambassadors because He lives in us. If you have this one living in you, you can't hold Him back. He just wants to get out. He just wants to get out, regardless of the situation, regardless of our mood, regardless of the fact we might be in a quote-unquote important business meeting, or the interesting end result to that story. A CEO was sitting next to me, and I said, "Well, it's kind of late now. I guess we can't finish the business meeting tonight." He says, "No, we can't. We'll finish it tomorrow night." So that's what we did. But we took care of the most important thing. A man got saved. Amen. So this this message tonight, the iniquity of the sanctuary versus building with gold, silver, and precious stones. Amen. So there is something called the iniquity of the sanctuary. And it's in Numbers 18. And basically what it is any time a Christian worker, it's basically for Christian workers, do something out of their own natural strength and concept, that's what is called an iniquity of the sanctuary. In other words, we know God's will, but we do it ourselves. We may know what it is, but we do it our way. Or we may even do something that's not God's will and claim it's God's will, and we go do it. And this is really what the iniquity of the sanctuary is. And needless to say, the Lord's not happy about it. He wants His work, that His work is Him building His work. His work is us loving Him, caring for Him, and receiving Him. And that's what His work is all about. So, Romans 1, the book of Numbers shows us that the sins of the priests were iniquities committed against the sanctuary. Using today's terminology, they are sins committed in God's work. There are sins committed in our daily life, but a worker of the Lord can commit an additional sin. They're sins in God's work. So in our daily life, when we go off and do something, maybe we just spend, go off and do something that we consider sinful. That's in our daily life. But an additional sin is sins in God's work. B, sinning in the work means offending God in His holiness, glory, and sovereignty. In God's work, everything that is incompatible with God's will is a sin and is an iniquity of the sanctuary. So if it's incompatible with God's will, it's a sin. C, there are three very important considerations in God's work that we should never forget. If we fail in any of these three points, we have committed iniquity against the sanctuary. Okay, first, the initiation of God's work must be according to His will. No work can be initiated by ourselves. In other words, He is our source. He is our source. That's why we've been stressing John 6:57. The Lord said, "I live by the Father. So he who eats me shall live because of me." So we need to be the same as the Lord. The same as the Lord. If we're enjoying the Lord, if we're feasting on the Lord, we're not going to commit. We're not going to be affected by the iniquity of the sanctuary. We're not going to commit this type of sin. We need to be those enjoying the Lord and loving the Lord, feasting on Him. In an interesting verse, 2 John 6:57, where the Lord said, "I live by the Father," is actually Isaiah 7:15. Talking about the Lord. You know, 14, He will call His name Emmanuel. 15, He will eat curds and honey, or butter and honey. For He knows how to refuse evil and choose good. Amen. So how did the Lord follow the Father's will? Butter and honey. Grace and love. We need to be those full of the Lord's grace, full of the Lord's love. That's how we follow the Lord. Not doing things by any other source but by the Lord. The Lord, He only is our source. Then two, the advance of God's work must be according to His power. No work can be carried out in our own strength. So Acts 1:8, receive power when the Spirit comes upon you. Zechariah 4:6, not by you, it's by My Spirit. Not by our own power, by our own strength, but by His Spirit that things happen. Philippians 4:13, do all things in Christ. Do all things in the power. And 2 Timothy 2:1, be empowered in the grace. You know, and the grace is just God in Christ to be our enjoyment. So we should be those empowered in the grace of Christ. We need to be careful not to do things by our own strength. Right. We need to be those that do the things in the Lord's strength. Amen. In His supply, His power. So He's the source. He's the one, He has the ideas. And He's the one who carries out the ideas. And the result of the Lord's work must be for His glory. No work should result in our own glory. In 2 Corinthians 4:5, we don't preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus. He's the one we preach. He's the one we preach. So the Lord gets the glory. So these three points, and brother who was sharing this message said he wished he'd heard a word like this when he was a young person, because it's a preserving word. To realize that in the Lord's eyes, there is a serious side. The Lord is our enjoyment. But He's also a holy God and a righteous God. And we don't want to be those offending His holiness and His righteousness or His sovereignty. So we want to know how to follow Him. And we follow Him by enjoying Him, by loving Him, by taking Him in, by waiting on Him. Now, if we rush ahead too fast, we may be doing our own thing. Or we come up with too many bright ideas, we may be doing our own thing. That's why the fellowship and the coordination is such a protection. Fellowship and coordination and prayer together. The twos and threes praying together. This is a protection to keep us from falling into these types of things. The Lord is our food, our energy, our capability, our power, our strength. So if we are those who we feel burned out, then we're serving in our own strength. So the Lord's our power. He's our strength, our supply, moment by moment. He's our enjoyment of God becomes our power to advance God's work. So if we want to advance the Lord's work, we need to enjoy Him more. Enjoy the Lord more. Love Him more. That will keep us from some of these things. In fact, that will keep us from any of these other things, not some of them. Loving Him, taking Him as our supply will keep us from all these other things. Okay, so there are three results or punishments for the iniquity of the sanctuary. One, there's a loss of power, of life. A man becomes stale. Who wants to be stale? Nobody wants to be stale. We want to be those who are fresh in the Lord. So, we need to be day by day, moment by moment, fresh in Christ. Fresh in the Lord. Have a fresh morning revival. Who here has a fresh morning revival each day? Who here has ever had a fresh morning revival? Say amen. 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 Hallelujah. Okay. Good. We just want more of them, right? We want more fresh morning revivals. We want the Word to be fresh to us when we come to the Word. Amen. The Lord is always fresh. He's one, you know, in Romans 6, 4, talking about walking in newness of life. And in Romans 7, 6, we need to be those serving in newness of life. So, the Lord is full of life. So if we're enjoying Him, we're full of life, then we don't need to worry about this, these other things. Okay, there is the experience of spiritual death with the iniquity of the sanctuary on D2. There may even be sickness or physical death. God does not allow those who sin this way to continue. So there have been cases of that sort of thing. And we're not here to talk about, to dwell on that, but it can happen. But our focus is we're here to love the Lord. We're here to care about Him. And He does discipline those who He loves. That's a very clear, you know, so if we start to fall away a little bit, He'll discipline us to bring us back. But we're not here, you know, to dwell or to worry about these things, because the fact of the physical death side, that's pretty serious, but then that comes from a pretty serious offense to the Lord. And that's someone who's been a worker for some time. So we're not to worry about that. Okay, there's also a judgment at the judgment seat of Christ. At the judgment seat, no sin will be greater than the iniquity of the sanctuary. So there is a time when there's a judgment seat with the Lord. And again, there will be this matter. But if we are those who love the Lord, that's why we need to press on to love Him. We need to realize these things are serious to the Lord, but we want to press on to love the Lord, to feast on the Lord. And He's the one living in us. We have the pattern. We're eating the pattern day by day. So we're eating the pattern that follow the Lord. We're eating the pattern that love the Lord. Love the Father. So this pattern is in us day by day to take care of us. He loves us. He's interceding for us. He loves us to the uttermost. He doesn't want any of this to come our way. So these next couple points are kind of just a review of what we've talked about so far. The initiation of God's work must be His will and His will alone. We have no right to initiate anything. God's will must be the unique beginning of all His works. We cannot consider any of God's work as a common thing. Whether or not we are fresh to others depends on whether spiritual things are fresh to us. So we want to be those, the spiritual things are fresh to us. How many have had a fresh spiritual experience this weekend? Stand up and shout, hallelujah. Right. We are those who want the fresh spiritual experiences like we're having this weekend. That's what's so precious before the Lord. The advance of God's work can be carried out only by His power. We can never fulfill God's will by our own ability. Only God's power, God's money will be accepted by Him. Even after a man knows God's will, there is still the danger he will try to accomplish it by his own power, ideas, charisma, or eloquence. So there's the danger. We know His will, we may try to do it ourselves. Abraham's beginning of Ishmael is one example. And after Abraham begot Ishmael, if you don't familiar with the story, ask someone, they'll explain it to you. But Abraham, in a fleshly way, had a child, and the Lord didn't talk to him again for 13 years. But when he came to him as El Shaddai. He came and said, Abraham, I'm the source of grace to supply you. So he came to Abraham in a sweet way. So Abraham, yes, did something that was very offensive to God, but God came back to him. And this should be our experience of the Lord. We come to Him and we realize He comes to us in a very sweet way to be our source of supply. So, G, the result of God's work is for God's glory, not for our glory. God gets the glory. For God has chosen the ones who are weak, foolish, and despised by the world for His work. 1 Corinthians 1:29 says, so that no flesh may boast before God. So, we're the ones the Lord has chosen, whether we feel capable or qualified or not. The Lord has chosen us. Hallelujah. God does not wish to see us getting the glory. We can only enter into God's glory. He doesn't want us to get the glory. But it's so easy for us to try to steal it. We may be very poor and weak, but as soon as we render a little help to some brothers and sisters, as soon as we save a few people, we begin to steal God's glory. Stealing His glory is committing the iniquity of the sanctuary. If anybody ever started to get a little bit proud when something good was going on? Anybody? Yeah. I think that's all of our case. If it isn't your case yet, it will become your case. However, whenever we're a little bit used by the Lord, there's a danger of that pride. So, and it's called stealing God's glory. When some gain more spiritual knowledge and experience, it's possible for them to increase in spiritual pride. They still work by themselves and seek their own glory. Oh, Lord. There's nothing more abominable in the eyes of God and nothing more evil in His work than pride. God rejects and resists the proud. The word rejects means to be finished with someone, whereas resist is a word that is used against Satan. In this world, everyone under Satan's deception is a proud person. A proud person does not know himself. Those who know themselves will not be deceived. And the only way we know ourselves is to be in the light of the Lord. For in His light, in His shining. And again, this is not to get introspective. Not to try to get, am I doing this? Am I doing that? We just look at the Lord. We just look to Him. We just say, Lord, I love You. He cares about us so much. There are many warnings in the Bible. This is just one of them. The Lord cares about us so much. He loves us so much. He also doesn't want us. You would warn your son or daughter if they get ready to touch a hot stove, right? Okay, the Lord's telling us about a hot stove. That's what He's telling us about. He just said, don't touch it. Then you're okay. So we just need to not touch it. We just need to be those falling in love with Him. He's warning us from touching that stove, from walking into the street. Now think of the things you would warn your child against. Don't drink that poison. These types of things. So the Lord's warning us. But He's given us a way just to, with our love for Him to avoid this. Ordinary sins must pass through the priest's judgment, but the iniquity of the sanctuary is a direct offense against God, and God judges it directly. This is because the sanctuary belongs to God. The sanctuary is the church. And the iniquity of the sanctuary is an infringement on God's glory and on God Himself. And two. Now this was spoken by Brother Watchman Nee. He said, this is a very serious matter. I can only speak of it under the precious blood. I ask for the Lord's forgiveness, and I also ask for the brother's forgiveness. So it is a serious matter. It's a hot stove we don't want to touch. But the way to stay against the hot stove is just eat the good food, right? Don't go to the hot stove. Just eat the good food that's been prepared. So now we're coming to Roman numeral 2, which we touched before. And the Lord wants to work Himself into us. That's His goal. That's His goal. So point A, the church is God's farm, which produces gold, silver, and precious stones. Hallelujah. So first, we have the growth on God's farm. Then the plants on this farm become the precious materials for God's building. So as we enjoy the Lord, we actually become His building. Gold, silver, and precious stones signify the various experiences of Christ and the virtues and attributes of the triune God. These precious materials are the products of our enjoyment of Christ. So we want to be those that become gold, silver, precious stones through our enjoyment of Christ. You know, Jeremiah 2:13 is a very interesting verse. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. Do you offer themselves cisterns, broken cisterns which hold no water? Now these are the Lord could have said a lot of things. They worshipped all kinds of idols, they did all kinds of evil things. The Lord boils it down to two things. It's always nice when something is boiled down to two points, right? Makes it easy to understand it. So again, these two points, they forsook him, the fountain of living waters. So how does the Lord refer to himself? The fountain of living water. So we need to be those enjoying the Lord as the fountain of living waters. Moment by moment, day by day. This is what will build us in to the tabernacle, the dwelling place of God. And then, and not be involved with the cisterns, the broken cisterns, all the other things of this life. How many of you have been on the internet to a point where it became distasteful? Oh, I spend too much time on this thing. Okay, that's a broken cistern. Lord, the Lord hates broken cisterns. Instead, we need to be those partaking of the fountain of living waters. How many of you have partaken of the fountain of living waters and said, Lord, thank you, you are so fresh.
Amen.
Hallelujah! Where do you want to dwell? The broken cistern or the fountain of living waters?
Amen.
Fountain of living waters, right? That's where we want to dwell. We want to be at the fountain of living waters.
Amen.
Amen. So, these in John 7:37-38, talks about, the Lord said, out of my innermost being flow rivers of living water. Rivers of living water come out. And that's what we want to be. We want to be those who also are beholding and reflecting Him. 2 Corinthians 3:18, behold Him and reflect Him. This is how our enjoyment brings us to become, to be transformed to be the gold, the silver, the precious stones. Things that are precious to the Lord. The gold is the divine nature of the Father. The silver is the redemptive work of Christ. And the precious stones are the transformed, forming work of the Spirit. So as we're enjoying the triune God, His love, His grace, His fellowship, we become these gold, silver, precious stones. We become the building that the Lord wants to have. So let's read D together. The precious materials for God's building are related to the triune God, through the Father's nature, the Son's redemption, and the Spirit's transforming work. So the precious materials for God's building. This is how God gets His building. This is how God gets the building that becomes His dwelling place. He's looking for a dwelling place on the earth today. He gets that dwelling place by us enjoying Him, being involved with His love, His grace, and His fellowship. Everybody wants to be involved with the love, grace, and fellowship of the Lord. Shout, Amen, Lord Jesus, I love you.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, I love you. Lord, I want to be involved with your love.
Lord, I want to be involved with your love.
Lord, I want to enjoy your fellowship.
Lord, I want to enjoy your fellowship.
Lord, I want to partake of your grace.
Lord, I want to partake of your grace.
This is how we're built in to God's building.
Amen.
Amen. E. We're becoming gold, silver, and precious stones for God's building. Okay, sisters, read one.
In God the Father, He hath His life and nature as the gold. In God the Son, He hath His redemption as the silver. And in God the Spirit, He hath transformation as the precious stone.
Amen. Brothers, two.
In order to build with these materials, we ourselves must be constant.
all together on three.
Growth
in the nature of God the Father, the redemption of God the Son,
and the transformation of
God the Spirit. This growth makes us gold, silver, and precious stone for God's building. Okay, this growth makes us gold, silver, and precious stones for God's building.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So it's God growing in us. It's God growing in us that we become the gold, silver, precious stones. How many of you have ever seen petrified stone? Sorry, petrified wood. Thank you. That has become stone. So pretty much everybody, right? Anybody had a chance to go to the petrified forest? Some have. Neat place. That's what was once wood. And you know, it still maintains the cellular structure. The cellular structure of the wood is still there. But it has become stone. And it became stone because the volcanic ash. And a volcano kind of washed it, took it all the way down, buried it. There was a lot of heat and pressure, but primarily water. And the minerals of the water was running through it. So as the water ran through, the minerals of the water ran through that wood, eventually the cellular structure of the wood became stone, full of quartz and other minerals. And in the very same way, today, when we enjoy this Jesus, we take Him in. His life and nature permeates us so that eventually what we are is Christ. Isn't that an awesome thought?
Amen.
Not in His Godhead, but in His life and nature. His life and nature becomes us. And so, how many of you have had the experience after you got saved? Or at some point in time, you just started at certain things that you liked, you just didn't like them anymore. Anybody had that experience? I think most everybody, right? That's His nature becoming our nature. His likes become our likes, and His dislikes become our dislikes. When you're sitting in front of the computer and you get sick of it, that's His nature operating. Hallelujah. Eventually, we think like He does. We act like He does. Our nature becomes much, much more like His nature. Our thoughts, our emotions, our emotions are no longer up and down all over the place. But we love what He loves. We love what He loves because He's done some operation in our emotion. And we hate what He hates. We think about what He wants to think about. We think about the things in the heavens, not the things on earth, not the evil things, and not the worthless things. Maybe not evil, but a lot of times we spend our days thinking about worthless things. Not evil, but just no profit. So instead we begin to think about profitable things. And we choose Him. We choose the Lord. Our will chooses what He wants. So eventually, we become His expression. That's what becoming gold, silver, and precious stones are. We become His expression. So let's read four together, point four. Through our eating of Christ, along with our spiritual digestion, assimilation, and metabolism, Christ becomes us and we become Him. Then we become the precious materials for God's building. We become the precious materials for God's building. So again, here's John 6:57. We eat Him, we live because of Him. So we're those who live because of Him, because we eat Him. If you eat computer games all day long, what's going to happen? You're going to live in one way or another according to that computer game. At least you're not going to be joyful. But if you feast, how many of you have left a meeting full of the enjoyment of the Lord and we're just happy?
Amen.
Amen. And something came your way that maybe normally would have upset you and instead you just reacted, it's okay. Anybody had that experience? Yeah. That's being in the joy of the Lord. When we're one with Him, then we act like Him. But when we're full of all kinds of other things, when we're living because of other things, then we act like the world around us. So the question becomes, if we eat Christ, we'll act like Christ. But if we eat all the things of this world, we'll act just like the people of the world. And we'll get angry, get frustrated, upset. So the choice is feast on Christ or feast on anything else. How many here choose to feast on Christ? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're here to feast on Christ. And Ephesians 3:17. Let's all read this verse together. In fact, let's read 3:16, 17, and 18 together. Ephesians 3:16, 17, and 18. That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit into the inner man, that Christ may make His home in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be full of strength to apprehend with all the saints what the breadth and length and height and depth are. Amen. Okay, and that's good. That's good. So the Lord wants to make His home in our heart. So we have lots of chambers in our heart. So this transformation process really is the Lord taking over this chamber. So we all have chambers in our heart that we kind of hold dear, right? Lord, you can touch anything, but don't touch that one. Does anybody have a chamber like that? Yeah. Has anybody had the enjoyment of saying, Lord, you can have that chamber, and realize I was just released? Yeah. So we just need to pray. And really, the brother who shared one of the messages in this conference training said the highest prayer we can pray, Lord, make your home in my heart. The highest prayer we can pray for ourselves or anybody else. So, if you sometimes you don't know what to pray for somebody, just pray, Lord, make your home in their heart. That's all we need to pray. Sometimes we have some more specific situations, but they always need to be according to God's purpose. So, Lord, make your home in their heart. So we need to pray again and again, Lord, make your home. So we need to be those feasting on the Lord that He can make His home in our heart. Then when His home is in our heart, then when one's situations happen, we get cut off on the road or somebody runs through the red light in front of us, we won't react. We won't react. We'll just, Christ, this Christ will be there. Christ will come out. We need to be enjoying the Lord to the point where Christ comes out. Christ bursts out of us in all these situations rather than my disposition, my frustration, my this, that, and the other thing, right? But as we feast on the Lord, He's the one who's going to come out. So these two are key verses. John 6:57, we feast on Him, we live by Him because of Him. Ephesians 3:17, He makes His home in our heart. So as He makes His home in our heart, then His building work is being complete. That's what His building work is all about. He wants to get the chambers of our heart. So as He gets the chambers of our heart, then His building work is being accomplished. But if we say, Lord, you can't go there, you can't go there, you can't go there, and you can't go there, well, we've just stopped His building work. We've just picketed His building. You don't want to picket God's building, do you? No. We don't want to be carrying picket signs around and say, Lord, you can't build here, you can't build there. No, we want to give Him the way. We want to give Him the way, His life, to flood into us. Amen. Okay, let's read F together. God's eternal goal is the building. The temple built with precious materials on Christ as the unique foundation. So the Lord is the foundation. But we build, but take heed with what we build. We build with gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. And at the judgment seat, the Lord will say, what did you build with? How did you build? Did you build with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble? So we want to be those building with Christ, building with God's divine nature, the redemptive work of Christ, the enjoyment of the Spirit as the transforming element. Okay, then one, the growth in the divine life produces materials for the building of God's habitation. This habitation, the church, is the increase, the enlargement of the unlimited Christ. Amen. First, we have the farm for the growth in life. Then we have the building for God's eternal purpose. You know, Matthew 16, 18, there. Greatest prophecy in the Bible. The Lord says, I will build my church. This is where the word build was first being used concerning the Lord's work. I will build my church. So, the Lord prophesied it. You think it's going to happen?
Amen.
Can we say it stronger?
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. The Lord, this work is going to happen. He will build His church. Now, the next question is, how many here want to be a part of that?
Amen.
Amen. He's going to build it. We want to be a part of it. Amen. So, it's up to you. It's our choice. He's ready. All we need to do is say, Lord, I love you. We just need to make a commitment to the Lord. I want to love you every day. I want to get up early in the morning, spend time taking care of you, same time loving you, spend time in your Word, spend time singing some hymns, spend some time praying for my friends, spend some time praying for my own situation.
Amen.
Let's look at Ephesians 2, 20 to 22. Okay, together. Being built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone, in whom all the building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in Spirit. Three verses. Some version of the word building is used in all three of those verses. So the Lord is after a building. But that building is Himself built into us. It's not us going out and doing something. It's us letting Him build Himself into us. Then as He builds Himself into us, we'll go out and be those who speak. Be those who shepherd. Be those who are the ambassadors of Christ. Be those who are reconciling ones back to the Lord. But it's after He's built Himself into us. Amen. Okay, let's read three together. The actual building of the church as the house of God is by the growth in life of the believers. Again, the actual building of the church as the house of God is by the growth in life of the believers. So as we grow in life, that's the building. How do we grow in life? Let Him make His home in our heart. That's the growth in life. So as we let the Lord make His home in our heart, the more He takes over chambers, that's the growth in life. So we grow in life by opening up to Him, by feasting on Him, by day, Lord, I take You and live by You. John 6:57. Again, we eat Him. We eat Him, we live by Him. We feast Him, we take Him in. And then He shines. Then He shines. We say, yes, Lord, You can have that chamber. I'm not going to go there after all. I'd rather spend my time with You, Lord. Amen. Lord, I'm not going to waste my time. That's the growth in life. 1 Peter 2, 2 to 5 talks about the spiritual stones being built up as a spiritual house. So the Lord, throughout the Bible, talks about building a temple, building a house. And that house is built with gold, silver, precious stones. And the reason we keep emphasizing this is these are the triune God. They represent the triune God in gold in nature. Silver, the redemptive work of Christ. And this precious stones, the transformation work of the Spirit. So the temple, God's building, God working Himself into us, is built by the God, triune God Himself becoming our nature. The verse that Tim mentioned yesterday, not I but Christ, Galatians 2:20. Not I but Christ. You know, it's not I but the Lord, yet it is I. Let's look at that verse real quick, Galatians 2:20. Sweet verse. I am crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith, the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself up for me. So, it's no longer I who live, yet it is I, yet not I, but the life which I now live in the flesh. So we don't live, yet we do live. It's because we have one living in us. It was our will, our day by day, we're choosing to have this one live through us. So we're living by another life. We're living another life. That's what the Lord is after today. Those who can live by Him. Okay, sisters, read 3a together there. Brothers B.
In order to have the genuine building, we need to grow by having ourselves reduced and by having Christ increased within us.
Right. Ourselves reduced, Christ increased within us. Amen. Let's read 4 together. We also need to learn to coordinate with the transforming Spirit to perfect the saints by ministering the triune God as gold, silver, and precious stones to them for their transformation by the triune God's attributes being wrought into them to become their virtues. This is portrayed in the Song of Songs, 110b to 11. So, how does this building work carried out? First, the Lord builds Himself into us. Then we minister what's been built into us to others. We can minister our opinion. Have you ever been in a meeting, someplace where you've ministered your opinion to others? And it wasn't very sweet, was it? Have you ever been in a meeting where others ministered Christ to you? That was sweet, right? Have you been in a meeting where you ministered Christ to others? That was sweet, wasn't it? Right, right. So we want to minister Christ to others. Anytime we speak and the flow of life comes out, that's ministering Christ. That's ministering Christ to others. But we don't want to, you know, it's too easy to minister our opinion, our will, our thought, our disposition. So many things we can come out of us. But rather, we need to be those ministering the triune God. If we're ambassadors of Christ, ministers of reconciliation, we're ministering the triune God. We're ministering gold, silver, precious stones. This is what, again, builds up the church. This is God's work on the earth today. As we minister, as we take in this Christ, as we feast on Him day by day, as we enjoy the fountain of living waters and stay away from the broken cisterns, as we enjoy Him in the Word. You know, Jeremiah 15, 16, that words were found and I ate them. And they became the joy and rejoicing of my heart. So the more we spend time in the Word, the more the Lord His joy will be in us. And this will take care of the Lord's building. This is the way He builds. He builds His work by us living by Him, just like He ate butter and honey. The Lord ate butter and honey. That's how He lived by the Father. That's how He enjoyed the Father. That's how He knew what the Father's will was. He enjoyed the Father. He lived by the Father by enjoying and eating the Father. So we live the same way. So we live by enjoying and eating the Father. Then we're taking in the gold, silver, precious stones. If all day long you take in gold, silver, precious stones, what's going to come out, Jason?
God.
Pardon me?
God.
God, right. Gold, silver, precious stones. God's going to come out. If we take God in, God's going to come out. How many of you enjoy having God come out of you?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, that's why we're here.
Amen.
We're here to take in God so God comes out.
Amen.
And when God comes out, that's the building. That's the building that God is after, is God coming out of us. So 4a, transformation is a heavenly, spiritual, divine, metabolic change in our being. Transformation, B, is in the church life is carried out by the transforming Spirit. Two key verses here. Again, 2 Corinthians 3:18, we behold Him and reflect Him. Then Romans 12:2, transformed by the renewing of the mind. So again, we begin to think like He does. Instead of scheming, instead of figuring, how can I make this work? We just say, Lord, what do You want to do? And our thought process begins to change to a thought process of the Lord's. See, after lovers of Christ enter into the church life, they begin to be transformed by the remaking of the Spirit. I just enjoy, I just marvel of the transformation that I've seen in different saints, different young believers that touched the Lord in the college years. And you just see year by year, marvelous change. Full-time training, more change. You just see something of the divine metabolic change of the Lord operating in one's hearts. Simply because they're open to Him. Simply because they've learned to call on His name. Simply because they've learned to eat and enjoy the Word, to live by Him. So the more we eat and enjoy and live by Him, the more He lives out of us. D. In this transforming work, there is need of the coordination of some transformers. The perfecting ones who help the seekers to know God in His nature and in experience. These transformers can take many, many forms. Many forms. They can take positive forms. They can be little children transformers. They can be roommate transformers. Anybody? I won't ask. I won't ask that one. But there can be all kinds of transformers. And they transform us by just kind of putting us in a situation that causes us to say, Lord, I need You. And also, and yet on the other side, sometimes they just supply us with Christ. So they transform us in both ways. Put us in situations that we just say, Lord, I need You. Other times, they're a supply of Christ. And then G, to build the church with wood, which is the nature of the natural man, grass, the fallen man of the flesh, and stubble lifelessness is to commit the iniquity of the sanctuary. This is to mar the church as God's temple. God's building instead should be built with gold, silver, and precious stones. So we don't want to build with anything natural. We want to build with gold, silver, precious stones. And the way to do that is just to, day by day, moment by moment, feast on the Lord. Enjoy His Word. Pray, read His Word. Call His name. Sing hymns. How many of you sing hymns to the Lord, open up the hymnal and sing hymns to the Lord in the morning? Okay, some do. Good. That's a very sweet way to touch the Lord. Those hymns are the experiences of the Lord's seekers down through the ages as they've sought the Lord. And it's a very fresh experiences, very fresh spiritual sight, insight in those hymns. So sing the hymns. Pray. Pray with your friends. Pray with your roommates. Many, many life practices. We need to exercise all the life practices because we need to be those full of love for the Lord. And the more we love Him, the more He cares about us. The more we love Him, the more we'll be right in the middle of His building. And I think everybody here tonight wants to be in the middle of His building. Everybody who's here and wants to be in the middle of His building, stand up and shout, Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We all want to be in the middle of God's building. Amen. Okay, let's pray two by two for a minute. And then some brothers will come up. And the two brothers will come up to prophesy. And then fill in behind them. And just share how much you love the Lord and His building work. Amen.